Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 17th of June, the 169th day of 2024, with 197 days ahead of us on our way to 2025. Put another way, we're exactly 2 weeks away from being exactly halfway through 2024. Today we open with a poem from Greensboro, North Carolina's first poet laureate, Josephus Thompson III. Who titles his effort, Poetry. This came before hip-hop. This plants street crops. Won't stop for red octagons. This thing sings songs. Prolongs life after death. Moves in stealth. Improves the quality of your life. Flows through pipes to irrigate land and turn grass green. This thing steams the wrinkles out of my daily. Therefore, you've got to pay me, for this is poetry. In our backyard garden, transitional blooming, like seasonal clockwork, is making the rounds. Now ebbing from bloom to seed are the lupin and the buttercups, while the hollyhocks and purple asters are burgeoning from bud to flower. The Canadian rhubarb plant we installed 23 years ago again emerges forth with healthy stalks, many of bright red with a rosy hue, and others in development, red, green, and somewhere in between. Looking forward to the day after tomorrow, we have Juneteenth, officially known as Juneteenth National Independence Day, a federal holiday in the United States, commemorating the ending of slavery in our country. When Major General Gordon Granger, on June 19, 1865, ordered the final enforcement of the Emancipation Proclamation in Texas after the end of the American Civil War. The earliest celebrations of Juneteenth date back to 1866, initially involving church-centered gatherings in Texas. Heavenward on this cusp of spring to summer is a good opportunity to see one of the largest constellations in the sky, ranking 13th out of 88, Boots the Herdsman, famous for its bright star Arcturus, the fourth brightest in our night sky because of Arcturus being only 37 light years away. It glows with a faint orange hue. To our viewing, Boots is south of Ursa Major, the Great Bear, of the handle of the Big Dipper, which is easy to see. Follow the mnemonic Arc to Arcturus, speed on down to Spica, the bright star midway on the right-hand edge of the constellation Virgo the Maiden. Thursday, our sun will rise and set farthest north on our horizon. That moment at 4:51 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time will be the summer solstice, after which our sun will begin moving southward in our sky again. We'll also have the longest amount of daylight at the summer or June solstice, although incrementally after that, the amount of daylight decreases until the winter solstice, when the amount of daylight again begins incrementally increasing. Less than a month ago at the University of Maine in Orono, we finished up our final grading of student essays, which are increasingly leaning toward material gleaned from AI, artificial intelligence, which in turn generates a few problems. Not the least of these issues is plagiarism and the students missing out on developing their critical thinking skills. Educators, alas, have only a scant number of tools readily available to help in discerning material generated by a human and material generated by AI. One such program is GPT-0, a relatively recent suite of software that debuted the beginning of 2023 and which is set up Hopper style. A document is copied and then pasted into the GPT-0 Hopper, and then the document is analyzed, the aim being to determine the percentage of probability that the document was created by a human or by AI. Again, GPT-0 is one of only a handful of such analyzing tools available. AI, on the other hand, is running rampant and being much touted to everyone everywhere, including in the education industry. One of the watchdogs keeping track of some of this is Will Greenwald, a frequent reviewer at PC Magazine, saying, "Despite its promise, artificial intelligence is a flawed, hastily implemented, and dangerous trend. We're moving too quickly, in part because many industries see the potential to save money on labor, close quote. Consider, for example, what's happening to much of the customer satisfaction interface in recent weeks and months. Today in 1579, English navigator Francis Drake landed on the coast of California at Drake's Bay, naming it New Albion. Today in 1775, in the Battle of Bunker Hill, American colonial revolutionaries clashed with British regulars during the Siege of Boston. Today in 1837, Charles Goodyear obtained his first rubber patent. Today in 1877, during the Indian Wars at the Battle of White Bird Canyon in the Idaho Territory, the Nez Perce defeated the U.S. cavalry. Today in 1885, the Statue of Liberty, aboard the French ship Isere, arrived in New York City. Today in 1894, the first U.S. polio epidemic broke out in Rutland, Vermont. Today in 1915, its program anticipating the League of Nations, the League of Enforced Peace, was organized at Independence Hall in Philadelphia with William Howard Taft as president. Today in 1928, Amelia Earhart became the first woman passenger in an Atlantic flight piloted by Wilmer Stoltz. Today in 1944, Iceland dissolved its union with Denmark and declared itself a republic. Today in 1958, Nigerian writer Chinua Achebe's Things Fall Apart was published by Heinemann and became considered the most widely read book in African literature. Today in 1972, the Watergate and office apartment complex in Washington, D.C., that was the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee, was broken into by five men who were later arrested, prompting the Watergate scandal that upended the administration of U.S. President Richard M. Nixon. Today in 1946 in Brooklyn, New York, Barry Manilow was born, the only child to a truck driver father who abandoned his family. Biographer Ed Morrow tells us that despite growing up in a tough neighborhood, by age seven, Barry Manilow had fearlessly mastered the accordion, the number two bully attractor after the violin. Manilow has remarked, "I grew up wanting to be Nelson Riddle," a dream which was augmented on his bar mitzvah when he received a piano. Paying his way through college and a year at Juilliard School of Music by working in the CBS mailroom, Manilow sold his first song as the theme to a late-night movie on a local television station. In his mid-20s, he worked as a pianist in Manhattan's Continental Baths, a posh gay bathhouse, where just weeks after he started the job, Bette Midler made an appearance and hired him to co-produce her Grammy-winning album, The Divine Miss M, and to arrange her singles Do You Want to Dance and Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. Then he recorded his own hit, Mandy, which led to a string of hits including I Write the Songs, Looks Like We Made It, It's a Miracle, and the Copacabana. Today is also the birthday in 1239 of King Edward I, who subdued Wales, warred against Scotland, and expelled Jews from England. In 1865, of the first indigenous woman to receive a medical degree, Susan La Flèche Picot. In 1867, of the inventor of the Gregg shorthand system, John Robert Gregg. In 1870, of the inventor of the Wheaties, George Cormack. In 1871, of American Harlem Renaissance poet, lyricist, and civil rights activist, James Weldon Johnson. In 1882, of the New Zealand father of modern plastic surgery, Harold Gillies, and of Russian composer Igor Stravinsky. In 1884, of Dutch feminist and pacifist Christine Baker von Bossie. In 1903, of the creator of the Toll House cookie, Ruth Wakefield. In 1904, of American actor Ralph Bellamy. In 1938, of Danish pop singer Greta Ingmann. In 1940 of American jazz bassist Chuck Rainey. In 1943 of aerospace engineer Burt Rutan. In 1943 of American politician Newt Gingrich. In 1951 of American comedian Joe Piscopo. In 1957 of Irish musician Philip Chevron. And in 1965 of American speed skater and Olympian Dan Jansen. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in edgewise. Here's to the last half week of spring, the first half week of summer, and the 25th week of 2024. Happy Juneteenth and happy solstice.